Okay, so today we are diving deep into the visual world of Oscar Luis Martinez. He's a really remarkable painter. He manages to hold two distinct worlds, you know, Chicago and Puerto Rico, in this really dynamic conversation on, well, every canvas.
Right.
We're kind of framing this discussion around how one artist can use paint and symbol to synthesize these pretty heavy concepts.
Yeah.
Memory, geographic displacement, and, you know, ultimately finding a true sense of belonging.
And it's more than just geography he's synthesizing, isn't it? Martinez is actively building a visual language.
Okay.
So our mission today is really to go past the surface, extract the key symbols and the technical moves that let him create this living language. That's the term, where the sort of tropical pulse meets the rigid structure of the urban.
So you, our listener, are basically getting a targeted shortcut here. A way to understand Martinez's entire visual vocabulary.
Yeah.
Treating his work not just as like static art objects, but almost as a map of contemporary tension and maybe ceremonial response.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly. And let's ground this with just the basics first.
Good idea.
So Martinez was born in Puerto Rico, specifically in Mayagüez. But his artistic training, his early career, that was all shaped within the cultural mix of Chicago.
Right.
And that duality, you know, the Caribbean root system kind of tethered to the Midwestern steel, that's the fundamental energy source for pretty much everything he creates.
That dual identity, yeah, that's where the tension really crackles, I think.
Mm.
It's that constant friction, isn't it, between feeling displaced, but also simultaneously establishing new roots.
Right.
And Martinez uses color, rhythm. He turns that friction into something you can actually see.
Yeah.
You know, the tropical heat of the island kind of pushing back against the geometric reality of Chicago.
And if you look directly at his artist's statement, it's worth reading, you see that tension perfectly put into words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His purpose, he actually states, is painting to keep faith with memory mine and ours.
Wow. Mine and ours.
It's a powerful commitment, right? He's acknowledging that leaving the island doesn't mean the island has left him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found the specific images he uses almost mythic, to describe that internal landscape.
Mm.
They were so striking in the sources.
Like what?
Well, this idea that the roosters still sing inside the L tracks in Chicago.
Right.
Or that the vibrant flamboyant tree, the red one, manages to bloom through the Chicago snow.
Yeah.
It's just the clearest illustration of how his heritage stays alive, you know, vivid and active, even when he's thousands of miles away.
And that internal landscape he's mapping, it's incredibly wide-ranging, too. It's not just one note.
How so?
Well, you can see the breadth of his exploration just by looking at the titles of his major series.
Oh, good.
Like, take Lucid Dreams, for instance. That seems to focus on the sort of subconscious bridge between the two places.
Right.
And that contrasts pretty sharply with something like City Life, which grounds that internal struggle more in the physical streets, the architecture of Chicago.
So dreams versus reality, almost.
Sort of. And then you also have series like Spiritual Connections, which is maybe more abstract, dealing with ancestors, the mythologies that travel with him.
So it's like he's not just documenting life. He's creating these taxonomies of experience.
Yeah.
Almost categories.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Across his portfolio, those explorations get organized into categories like cultural identity, spiritual connections, and city life.
Mm-hmm.
He's essentially asking the same core questions about self, about place, but through many different lenses.
Which leads us, I guess, directly into the core of his work, the actual canvases themselves.
Exactly.
Tell us about the physical experience of, you know, standing in front of these paintings. The sources mention they're often huge.
Oh, they are. Massive. Often human scale or even larger. Executed in oil on canvas.
So they really command the space.
They do. They're intensely immersive. They really demand what the critics call long looking.
Long looking. I like that.
Yeah, they don't just give up their secrets easily, you know? So given this requirement for like rigorous looking, we need to know, what are the key symbolic elements he uses across all these different series? And how do they function as a kind of language?
Right, because the sources make it clear these motifs aren't just decorative flourishes. They're tools for reflection, right?
Actually.
So let's start with maybe one of the most famous, most recurring motifs, the rooster. What's happening there?
Okay, the rooster. It's almost always situated right at a threshold or a boundary line.
Interesting.
It seems to symbolize that delicate balancing act, you know, life and death, day and night, the transition between worlds, which is Well, a pretty profound metaphor for migration itself.
Ah, okay. Migration. That makes sense.
You know, and you should look for the horns. They frequently appear, often as a signal of guardianship.
Guardianship. Like
yeah.
Protection.
Yeah. Often incorporated into a figure, maybe a crown.
Yeah.
Defending the integrity of the memory, perhaps.
And what about the organic structures? The sources point out how he uses branches, or they just treat...
Not usually, no. The branches are often rendered less as botanical things and more like nervous systems.
Nervous systems, wow.
Yeah, mapping the internal world. Sometimes even mapping the area around the pineal gland, the inner eye. It's always about this internal mapping, connecting the spiritual self to the physical body.
Okay, that's a heavy symbolic load right there. The rooster, the horns, these branch-like nervous systems.
And we haven't even gotten to the eyes yet.
Right, we'll get there. But does Martinez run the risk of maybe alienating a viewer who doesn't immediately possess that cultural key? You know, do the sources talk about how he makes these symbols universally accessible?
That's a really essential question. And the sources suggest he bridges that gap partly through technique, but also through context.
How so?
Well, for instance, he takes environmental features, things we all recognize, but gives them this historical weight that resonates beyond just the specific culture, like the clouds. Yeah, the clouds in his paintings aren't merely meteorological, you know, weather patterns.
Yeah.
They are specifically noted as carrying the collective memory of Hurricane Maria.
Oh, wow. So they become historical records.
Exactly. Records of trauma, but also resilience. That's something many people can connect with, the idea of weather-carrying history.
And this is maybe where the ethical component comes in stronger. The sources mention figures often look back at the viewer with multiple eyes.
Yes. Faces looking back, often with multiple sets of eyes. This really underscores his core belief that seeing, the act of looking, is an ethical act.
Ethical act, meaning?
Meaning you have to look rigorously, ethically, from multiple perspectives to truly grasp reality or memory or history.
Okay.
And to steady that really intense, multifaceted vision, he almost always integrates geometry.
Oh, the structure comes back.
Exactly. The structured, precise elements provide a kind of anchor for all the visual and thematic complexity swirling around.
And there is that beautiful specific detail mentioned in one of the articles. I think it was a reference to a purple-toned guardian figure crowned with horns.
Yes, I remember that.
That single image seems to show how he blends that specific, almost emotional experience with this grand cultural symbolism, demanding that long looking you mentioned.
Precisely. And that complexity, it's built methodically through his technique. It's not just chaos thrown on a canvas. It's very controlled layering.
What was that word?
Well, he often begins with these earth tone underpaintings. They act as a foundation, right? Maybe a metaphorical anchoring of the memory or the root system.
Grounding it.
Yeah, before moving into these incredible, really dramatic chromatic builds, you see cool blues intentionally colliding with warm ochres on the same plane.
So the technique itself is actually mirroring the theme, that complexity, that identity struggle, the cold Midwestern palette pushing against the Caribbean warmth.
Exactly. And what's crucial here is his intentional use of accident and revision. Yeah, he allows the images to mature over time. He revises the narrative right there on the canvas until the images don't just describe an event or a memory.
They invoke it.
They invoke it, exactly. They invoke a feeling or a meaning in the viewer. The whole process of painting kind of mirrors the process of reestablishing one's identity after displacement.
That technical rigor, the symbolic complexity.
Mm.
It seems to lead us directly into his core artistic philosophy, which he calls avant-garde.
Yes.
Sounds like a riff on the traditional art term avant-garde, but
yeah.
What's he conveying with that specific spelling? E-V-A-N-T.
It's a really powerful distinction he's making. It's not simply avant-garde, which, you know, often implies radical deconstruction, maybe a break from the past. He calls his approach an avant-garde of repair.
An avant-garde of repair.
Yeah.
Okay. How does that manifest visually? How is the art actively repairing something?
Well, repair, for Martinez, seems to mean consciously taking disparate or maybe damaged cultural pieces, fragments of indigenous Taino symbols, Afro-Caribbean spiritual icons, modern design structures, even the pace of urban life, and fusing them, weaving them together.
Yeah, okay.
He's constructing something whole, something potentially healing out of historical fragmentation. He integrates those ancient forms right alongside techniques we might associate with European modernism.
So he's challenging that notion that the sacred has to be separate from the contemporary.
Absolutely. He puts them in direct conversation.
So if we look at this sort of global art conversation, Where does this philosophy place Martinez? What kind of language are critics using to situate his work internationally?
He's consistently placed in two critical spaces, mainly the discussion around decolonial practice and spiritual modernism.
Okay, decolonial practice. In his context, what does that mean?
It means actively challenging the historical erasure of indigenous and African narratives by placing them centrally, not, you know, peripherally, in a contemporary art dialogue, giving them weight and presence now.
Right. And even with these complex kind of sweeping international themes, the sources really emphasize that the work never loses its highly personal signature.
It really doesn't. Despite all the intellectual weight, his paintings maintain this clear iconography, a really rigorous internal structure, and importantly, a distinct civic purpose.
Mm.
The structure serves the community and the personal narrative, which I think is why the painting feels so timely, so necessary right now.
Speaking of community, I found the detail about the physical nature of the artwork just utterly surprising. It seems to totally change the function of the painting itself.
Which detail is that?
That many of his largest pieces remain unstretched.
Ah, yes. It's a remarkable practical choice that absolutely reinforces the philosophy.
Because it's not just a cost-saving measure, is it? It's an intentional choice for portability.
Exactly. They are literally designed to travel, to be rolled up and transported easily to schools, community centers, churches.
It demonstrates his fundamental commitment to accessibility, driven by his statement that art belongs with people. It's not just theory for him. It's a physical choice he makes with the work to serve the community.
And that portability directly facilitates deep interdisciplinary engagement. His work is really designed to hold space for community programs.
Like what kind of programs?
Well, events where the paintings are put in direct conversation with, say, jazz performances or spoken word events, like the Art Speak series at the Hairpin Arts Center in Chicago.
Cool.
Alongside, you know, more traditional group shows at places like the Zoo B Art Center. It allows the art to breathe in different contexts.
Looking ahead now, the sources announce a pretty significant personal and professional shift for Martinez. He's returning to Puerto Rico.
That's right. Specifically planning to settle in the city of Ponce, down on the southern coast, though he's very committed to maintaining those essential Chicago ties.
Okay. So what should we anticipate from this next chapter? What might the work look like?
Well, we should probably anticipate new works drawing almost immediately on the new environment. You know, the specific coastal light of the South Shore there, the atmosphere of the town plazas in Ponce, the hill winds.
A whole new set of sensory inputs.
Exactly. And the documentation suggests a continued focus on building cultural, maybe even physical bridges between Chicago and Ponce, using his art as the documentation of that ongoing process of finding belonging.
It sounds like a continuation, but also a deepening.
I think so.
And for anyone listening who's been really captivated by this discussion and wants to dive into the research themselves.
There are resources.
Yeah, they've just released a new 60-page collector's catalog. It's called Between Memory and Metamorphosis.
Mm.
It's available for curators, collectors, libraries. And his website has apparently been recently relaunched for easier study, too.
Good. So the access points are clearly growing as his practice evolves. So if we were to try and summarize the primary lesson maybe from this deep dive into Oscar Luis Martinez, for me, it's that myth and modernism. They aren't opponents, they're companions in his work.
That's well put.
His work is this powerful testament that you don't have to discard ancestral or sacred traditions to engage fully with the complexity, the fragmentation of the urban contemporary world. You can hold both.
Absolutely. And the central idea, pulled right from the artist's own intent, it seems, is that his painting is about celebrating the joy that somehow survives the storms and the deep, enduring nature of roots that travel with you. It's an intensely personal vision, but it creates this universal space for belonging, really across any border.
Right. And maybe we can leave you, the listener, with one final provocative thought, something to consider as you carry this conversation forward.
Please do.
Given Martinez's really intense focus on ethical seeing, you know, underscored by those figures looking back with multiple eyes, demanding you look beyond just one perspective, what everyday symbols in your own environment carry memory or history that maybe you're not fully acknowledging or perhaps not looking at ethically?
Hmm. That's a challenging question.
It is. Think about that. Maybe notice things differently and carry the conversation forward in your own way.